إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. All praise is due to Allah, the Exalted. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We seek Allah's forgiveness and we ask Allah's assistance in all of our affairs. And we seek refuge in Allah from our evil souls and our bad deeds. Verily, whomever Allah guides to Islam, no one can lead astray. And whomever Allah allows to go astray because they do not want any guidance, then no one can guide. And I bear witness that there is no God worthy of our worship except Allah, alone with no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and his messenger. Brothers and sisters in Islam, alhamdulillah for his blessings and for allowing us to gather in this particular class where we continue with the book known as Sharh Usul al-Iman, the explanation of the fundamentals of faith. It's basic, but now the ummah needs basic. We Muslims need basic stuff before we go to the advanced. Furthermore, this is very necessary for those who like to give da'wah. And wallahi, if you are involved in da'wah and you get to know what the non-Muslims are doing in terms of da'wah, you will feel sad over our condition. And you will understand how important it is that a group of this ummah, a group, will carry the flag of inviting and propagating the deen of Islam. We need brothers and sisters in da'wah. You know, these non-Muslims, particularly the Christians, with their missionaries, and these people will give up their whole life. They will dedicate their whole life, give up their wealth, their homes, their jobs, to go give da'wah to disbelief. And they learn, and they study, and they learn about Islam, not because they want to become Muslims, but so they can look for faults, and the fault is in their brain. There's no fault in Islam. Alhamdulillah. Our deen is perfect, but the problem is with them. Yet they seek and strive to find faults in our deen, so they can get the weak Muslims, who don't have proper understanding of the deen, and throw a shubuha, a misconception in their face. So the believer who's not firm, he will think that what they're saying is correct, and you've heard about Muslims leaving alone Islam, Muslims becoming Christians. Alhamdulillah, there are not many in numbers. It's always the other way around. But these individuals still exist. So then what is our obligation? If the kuffar are striving to invite people to kufr, so what are the Muslims who have the truth supposed to do? Each one of you here, you know, should understand the seriousness of this call. This was the duty of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His whole life, from the time he received revelation until he passed away sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his main job was da'wah, calling to Allah. And this is an honorable position. Allah says in the Quran, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And who is better in speech? This is, they say, it's an interrogative, it's a question in the form of negating. Meaning, no one is better in speech than he who goes to Allah. Than he who goes to Allah and does righteous deeds and says, I am among the Muslims, proud of his Islam. No one is better in speech. We talk too much. But if you want to compare our speech, the daily talk, to the da'wah, then the da'wah is the best speech you will have, enjoining the good and forbidding the evil.
So my brothers, I'm reminding myself of you because recently I personally have come across some disbelievers who are attacking the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, calling him names, saying things against him, and these people are walking around freely, you know, learning and striving to come against the Muslims and bring these misconceptions to them. And I started to think, what would happen if a Muslim came across who doesn't understand Islam? Wallahi, he would go away, unless Allah keeps him from on the deen. So we must boost our efforts. We must write, learn da'wah. It is simple to whomever Allah makes it simple for. Allah makes it simple for some individuals because it's basic things you need to learn. It's tawheed. You just have to call the people to worship Allah alone. Misconception and answering them, that's an extra step. But mainly, you must be able to present Islam to a non-Muslim. And you must be able to answer some of the misconceptions. I mean, if someone came and told you right now, the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ married Aisha at such a young age, why is that? What would you say? If you don't know, you'll be in trouble. And he will think that you are following a religion that is not good, and that you don't even understand your religion. Although there are answers, many answers that are clear. I'm not going to use this occasion now to deal with that because that's not the subject matter. But they are very satisfactory answers for anyone who brings this misconception. And we can say the same thing about every aspect of our deen. Every falsehood, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared a truth in order to demolish this falsehood. You must have yaqeen, certainty in that. There isn't a single thing that they will bring except that we have better. And this is the promise of Allah. But we must learn it. We must utilize it. We must try some effort. Instead of reading too many newspapers and too many magazines and books that are of no benefit, let us read a book that shows you how to invite to Islam, how to learn the fundamentals, the principles of da'wah, and things of this sort. So perhaps, inshallah, we will not be in a position where some loser, some disbeliever will come and speak about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, while the Muslims are too busy enjoying life. And no one will take the task to defend him sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to refute these individuals and these corruptors spreading corruption upon earth. Continuing with the book, we have made it to the fourth aspect of our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We said that first it is the belief in the existence of Allah. Right? We mentioned that. Then we said that we must believe in the rububiyyah, the lordship of Allah, the creator, the sustainer, the one who arranges the affairs of his creation, disposes the affairs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we mentioned tawheed al-uluhiyyah, the oneness in the worship to Allah, that none deserves to be worshipped but Allah. Then lastly, the fourth, tawheed al-asma, al-iman bi asma'ihi wa sifatihi. Believe in Allah's names and attributes. Very crucial aspect of our deen. Very sensitive subject matter that requires first clarity of the mind and clarity of the heart and seeking the evidences to understand this in the right context. Because many of the Muslims from earlier generations, after the first three generations of righteousness and goodness, moving on when the Muslims mixed with the philosophers, many people try to understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the same way the pagans understood their gods. And they became a problem among the Muslims. And they continue until today. They have websites, they have books, they have their shuyukh, propagating a belief system other than that of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, other than that of Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, and Imam Malik, and Imam Shafi'i, and Imam Ahmad, other than their belief system, other than that of Bukhari and Muslim, something totally innovative. And if we don't know, we may believe it. So this we must understand, and we will give, the Shaykh will elaborate. What are we talking about? أي إثبات ما أثبته الله لنفسه في كتابه أو سنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم من الأسماء والصفات على الوجه اللائق به.
What is intended by that is the belief in whatever Allah affirmed for Himself, whatever Allah affirmed for Himself in His book, the Quran, or through the Sunnah of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, pertaining to Allah's names and attributes in a manner that befits Allah's majesty, in a manner befitting to Allah, not any other way. And we will see what that means. من غير تحريف, without distorting the meaning. تحريف is when someone would read an ayah from the Quran or a hadith and he will intentionally distort the meaning and try to give you a meaning other than the one that is apparent from the hadith or from the ayah, without any evidence, only mind. He will get an ayah and explain it away. Say, no, this is not what it means. What it means is that. Say, where did you get that from? No evidence for that. This is tahreef. من غير تحريف ولا تعطيل. تعطيل has a number of meanings in English. It could mean belying or denying. Belying meaning rejecting, and denying similarly, where someone will deny something that Allah has affirmed for Himself. And you will think, do Muslims do this today? You'll be shocked. You'll be shocked how many Muslims, when they come across the names and attributes of Allah, they say, no, don't say that. No way that Allah has this. I will give you examples. I don't want to shock anyone right now. وَلَا تَكْيِيف. Thirdly, تَكْيِيف is the manner of the attribute. How? The manner of the attribute. They don't give a manner, because this is of the knowledge of the unseen. So Allah confirmed to Himself some names and attributes, but we don't know their essence. Their essence is unknown to us, but we believe in what Allah revealed. So the kayf, how, they call it the howness of the thing. وَلَا تَمْثِيلٌ, and without drawing similarities. تمثيل is comparing Allah to His creation. Comparing Allah to His creation, which is known as anthropomorphism. Anthropomorphism, which is giving the divine deity human qualities. Where you say that Allah is like us, as it is the conception in Christianity and other religions, where they believe that God is a man. God is a man who walks upon earth. He looks like us, and so forth. تَعَالَ اللَّهُ عَمَّا يَقُولُ الظَّالِمُونَ عُلُوًا كَبِيرًا. High above is Allah. What the wrongdoers say against Him. So this is not how we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the four things that we do not do. We believe in whatever Allah said in the Quran, whatever the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about Allah in the Sunnah, but we don't distort the meaning, and we do not deny or belie the meaning, and we do not say how, and we do not compare Allah to His creation. These are four prohibitions, four paths of deviance that the Muslim should not travel upon. Allah says, قال الله تعالى ولله الأسماء الحسنى فادعوه بها وذروا الذين يلحدون في أسمائه سيجزون ما كانوا يعملون. Allah says in the Quran in Surah Al-A'raf, verse 180, and to Allah belongs the most beautiful name. To Allah belongs the most beautiful name. So call upon Him by them and leave the company. Leave the company of those who deviate in Allah's name. Look in the Quran. Leave the company of those who deviate in Allah's name. Verily, they would be recompensed for what they used to do. So Allah indicated in the Quran that there will come people who will deviate in their understanding, who will give a meaning that Allah does not intend, and explain it in a way which they have no object, they have no revelation, no evidence to do, only using philosophy and intellect and things that are from their own brain.
And we understand in Islam that there's no contradiction between intellect and textual evidences. The textual evidences are in harmony with our minds. But some people reject the textual evidences because of what the thoughts that they have in their minds. This is the first verse.
وقال تعالى وله المثل الأعلى في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم.
سورة الروم verse 27. Allah says, He is the highest description in the heavens and the earth, and He is the Almighty, the All-Wise. And it does not mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on the earth. We have established before that Allah Azza wa Jal is above His creation. Allah is above His creation. Allah is not everywhere. This is the most common belief system of Muslims today. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah said, من أنكر أن الله عز وجل في السماء فقد كفر. Whosoever denies that Allah is above His creation, above the heavens, he has disbelieved. This was the position of all of the a'imma, that Allah is above His creation. In Sahih Muslim, everybody knows also the book of Sahih Muslim. Muawiyah ibn Hakam al-Salami radiallahu anhu had a slave girl who was taking care of his sheep. And one time a wolf came and ate one of the sheep. So he became angry with her and he slapped her. Then he felt guilty, so he went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, O Messenger of Allah, such and such happened to me and I'm a human being. Anger comes upon me the same way it comes upon everyone else. I overreacted and I slapped this girl. What should I do now? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ihtini biha, bring her to me. He went and brought the slave girl to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He asked her two questions. This is in Sahih Muslim. The first one he said, Ayn Allah? Where is Allah? So those people who don't like this question need to understand that it was asked by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where is Allah? قالت في السماء. Allah is above. في السماء, in the state of transcendency. قال من أنا؟ قالت أنت رسول الله. He said, Who am I? She said, You are the messenger of Allah. He said to Muawiyah, أعتقها فإنها مؤمنة. Let her go. Let her free. She's a believer. This narration and many others, verses in the Quran, beyond any doubt, prove that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not mixed with His creation as many people try to teach today. And they negate this hadith of Sahih Muslim. And many narrations in Bukhari, Zainab, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she used to tease the other wives. She used to say, each one of you, your mother, your parents gave you in marriage to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As for me, Allah gave my hand in marriage from above the seven heavens. This is the wife of the Prophet ﷺ telling you, فَوْقَ سَبْعِ سَمَوَاتٍ, from above the seven heavens. Ya akhi, let's make it simple. When the Prophet ﷺ went on the Isra wal Mi'raj, where did he go? Didn't he go up? Didn't he go through the heavens? And he spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the salah became obligatory upon us from above the seven heavens. He didn't go everywhere. So the ayat in the Quran and the ahadith are too many. This is not the time of discussion. We dealt this in one of the lectures at IMC. But the idea is that this is the belief system of the believer. Now you have Muslims who deny that. Allah says, Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arsh istawa, the most merciful rose above His throne in a manner that befits His majesty. How? We don't say how. Because no one knows. Allah did not give us knowledge. But we don't go deny the ayat seven times. Seven times the istiwa ala al-arsh was mentioned in the Quran. No believer has the right to deny what Allah said in the Arabic language, revealed upon the Arabs who understood what the word istiwa means. They knew what it meant. No one has the right to come and give a meaning other than that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given without any textual evidence. This is what is intended, that people deviate. And now you ask the average Muslim, where is Allah? He says, في كل مكان. Allah is everywhere. يا أخي, but excuse me, what about the bathroom? He will say, oh no, not the bathroom. Okay, what about the garbage? He say, oh no, not the garbage either. Okay, what about nightclubs? Oh no, not the nightclubs. So now we have everywhere with a million exceptions. What does the word everywhere mean? Everywhere means everywhere. So now you said everywhere except. Where are you getting these teachings from? Where are you bringing your own understanding of the deen from? Who gave you this authority? No one. So we don't want to travel upon this path. This is why the subject of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very fundamental. The face of Allah. Does Allah have a face? Have one. I know you're scared to answer because I may get on you in any either way. No. Doesn't Allah have a face? Indeed. كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانِ وَيَدَقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. Everything upon this earth will vanish, but the face of your Lord will remain. Subhanallah al-Azim. But then, time out. This is when the people go to the opposite extreme. When they say, oh, there's a face, they start imagining a face. This is why you say, stop. You will never be able to imagine. So don't do that. Allah did not teach you, did not reveal Himself to you, Azza wa Jal, because no one will see Him in this dunya. So you don't sit there and try to imagine, because your imagination will get you nowhere. If I have anything right now, okay, I have a marisu. Imagine. Can you imagine what I have in my hand right now? You can stay here for years imagining, and you will, 99% you will not imagine what I have in my hand. And I don't have anything. Huh? But what am I trying to prove? When you have not seen something, you will not be able to imagine it in the right context. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the Quran, وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. There is none equal to Allah. So there is nothing equal to Allah. You will never be able to imagine. So you don't imagine. But you don't deny the Quran. Say no. But the Quran says, وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ. In more than one occasion, no. And so forth. So then we must understand. And what I'm saying, ya akhwan, is the aqidah of all of the a'imma. The a'imma, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, and Imam Shafi'i, Imam Ahmad, they agree about all these things. Books have been written by them and by their students. Their statements have been accumulated by the righteous predecessors. What I'm telling you is not something new. It's just that it is something that we did not learn. Back in our countries, they don't teach you these things. They think that these things are dangerous, dangerous things to learn, so they say, no, no, just learn tajweed. Recite the Quran, mazboot, that's all you need to know. Don't go into all these things. But this was not the way of the. This is not the way of knowledge. We must understand what Allah is teaching us in the Quran. We must understand who we are worshipping. We must believe in Him according to what He revealed. We should not avoid learning these things, but we stay with the limitations of the deen. So then, Allah says, and He has the highest. He is the highest description of the heavens and the earth, and He is the Almighty, the All-Wise. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. And Allah says in Surah Ash-Shura, verse 11, this is the most important verse when it comes to the understanding of the names and attributes of Allah. This is the foundation. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ. And I wish if you will get the chance to learn the Arabic language, to learn the seriousness and the precise explanation of that verse. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ. And there is nothing like unto Him. There is nothing like unto Him. Nothing like Allah. We must really understand that. Because if we understand that, we will not have a problem believing in what Allah said in the Quran. Because we have in the back of our mind, there's nothing like Allah. So what's the problem? There's no problem. Allah has a face? Yes. There's nothing like Him. So don't think of any human face because you're wrong. And if the humans are faces, we have a huge difference between our faces, between one brother and another. Then between the face of an ant, doesn't an ant have a face? And the face of an elephant. If there's such a variation between the faces of the creation, and we call both face, then what about the distinction between the creation and the creator? SubhanAllah. it is even more great and more evident. So then we know that the Prophet ﷺ, he used to recite his ayat upon his companions. He never stopped, said, oh, by the way, the face of Allah means Allah's glory. It doesn't mean face. He never did that. The companions never questioned. They took it of face value. They took it as it meant, as it was intended, and they had the proper etiquette with Allah. They knew the greatness and the majesty of Allah, so they would not even dare to ask how, because there's nothing like Allah. This is the verse that we must understand. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. There's nothing like unto Him, and He is the all-hearing, the all-seeing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surah to Surah, verse 11. وَقَدْ ضَلَّ فِي هَذَا الْأَمْرِ طَائِفَتَانِ. Pertaining to this concept in Islam, two groups have deviated. Two groups among the Muslims that are present today have deviated. The أُولَى إِحْدَاهُمَا الْمُعَطِّلَةِ. الْمُعَطِّلَةِ comes from the word تعطيل. Remember, the first thing we said is distortion. بِنْ غَيْرِ تَحْرِيفِ وَلَا تَعْطِيل. The second, تَعْطِيل الْمُعَطِّلَةِ, their name is derived from تَعْطِيل. تَعْطِيل is denying. They're called Al-Mu'attila because they denied. الَّذِينَ أَنْكَرُوا أَسْمَاءَ اللَّهِ وَالصِّفَاتِ. الَّذِينَ أَنْكَرُوا الْأَسْمَاءَ وَالصِّفَاتِ أَوْ بَعْضَهَا زَاعِمِينَ أَنَّ إِثْبَاتَهَا لِلَّهِ يَسْتَلْزِمُ التَّشْبِيهِ. أي تشبيه الله تعالى بخلقه وهذا الزعم باطل لوجوه منها. Then he will enumerate them. He says those who deny the names and attributes of Allah, and they actually two groups, Al-Jahmiyya, who deny some, and among the ghulat, the extremist among the Jahmiyyah, they denied all of the names and attributes of Allah. So they say you cannot say Allah is Sami', Allah is Basir, Allah is Alim, Allah is Qadir. You cannot say that. Because in their mind, if you say that, then you are making Allah like His creation, because you are Sami' and you are Basir. So they said, no, then we cannot. Imagine to what extent. So now, almost the whole Quran, they denied. Because in their sick mind, they insist that if you affirm this to Allah, meaning Allah like His creation. Because they don't understand this foundation that there's nothing like unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look how we deal with that. Because everything, there's ways to deal with it, intellectually and textually, with the evidences. So they said that if we affirm these things, then we are indirectly necessitating that Allah is just like His creation. And then the Shaykh said, and this particular claim is false for a number of reasons. The first, الأول أنه يستلزم لوازم باطلة كالتناقض في كلام الله سبحانه وتعالى. The first thing is that this necessitates that there is contradiction in the statements of Allah. When they insist that affirming these things to Allah makes Allah being resentful to His creation, then they are making it compulsory that to claim that there is contradiction in the statements of Allah. وذلك أن الله تعالى أثبت لنفسه الأسماء والصفات ونفى أن يكون كمثله شيء. This is because Allah affirmed for Himself names and attributes, and at the same time He taught us that there is nothing like unto Him. He taught us that there is nothing like Him عز وجل. ولو كان إثباته يستلزم التشبيه لزم التناقض. And had accepting these qualities according to them, had it necessitated tashbih, then this will cause contradiction. لزم التناقض في كلام الله وتكذيب بعضه بعضا. This will necessitate the contradiction in the statement of Allah and the Quran refuting itself. The Quran refuting itself. One ayah says, there's nothing like Allah. Do you learn that? You believe that. Then they go and say that if you say Allah is Sami', meaning you're making Allah like His creation. So now they've made the Quran contradict. One ayah says there's nothing like Allah. Another one says Allah is like a creation according to their understanding. This is impossible. Is it possible that the Quran will contradict itself in the teachings? Allah says, وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Had the revelation been from other than Allah, they would find many contradictions and differences. which indicates that whatever is from Allah does not have any contradictions and differences. So if Allah affirmed something to Himself, that means that you must understand the other things in the context of the first teaching, that there is nothing like Allah. It doesn't mean that these attributes necessitate that Allah is like His creation. The second way to deal with that, أَنَّهُ لَا يَلْزِمُ مِنْ اتِّفَاقِ الشَّيْئَانِ فِي إِسْمٍ أَوْ صِفَةٍ أَنْ يَكُونَ مُتَمَاثِلَيْنِ. Two things have a nominal similarity. Nominal, يعني in the name, agreement in name, does not necessitate that they would be 100% equal. And I will give you an example. The Shaykh will give you an example, and I will give you an example. Do you believe that in Jannah there are rivers? Do you believe there are trees? Do you believe that there are Hoor al-Ain? Would that translate in that way? You believe, huh? You believe in all of these things, right? Do you think, ya akhwan, they're going to be like this dunya? Huh? You think the apple, if there's an apple in Jannah, is going to be like the apple you eat over here? No. Ibn Abbas, you know Ibn Abbas, the nephew of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one whom the Prophet ﷺ made dua for him, Allahumma allimhu al-Qur'an, allimhu al-ta'wil, teach him the interpretation of the Qur'an. He said, the only similarity between that which we have in this dunya and that which Allah mentioned in Jannah is the name. This is called the tree, and that is called the tree. And the only thing in common is the word tree. But the essence, they are nothing the same. They are nothing the same. The name is in common, but the reality is totally different. And this is something that, you know, we have in our life. You know, anything in this world, carpet, you say carpet. You could have a tiny little carpet, you could have a huge carpet, it could be different fabric, different color. I mean, just the word carpet does not necessitate that two carpets, each carpet in the world is exactly like the other one, because they all have the name carpet. So the name being nominal does not necessitate that these things are identical in every way, shape or form. طيب, why do we say that? فَأَنْتَ تَرَى الشَّخْصَيْنِ يَتَّفِقَانِ بِأَنَّ كُلَّ مِنْهُمَا إِنْسَانٌ سَمِيعٌ بَصِيرٌ مُتَكَلِّمٌ وَلَا يَلْزِمُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ أَنْ يَتَمَاثَلَا فِي الْمَعَانِ الْإِنْسَانِيَةِ. You see, two people, two brothers, two human beings, both of them hear, and they see, and they speak. But that does not mean that they are equal in these human qualities. Some brothers' hearing is better than others. Some brothers wear glasses, others don't. Some people are eloquent, some people are not. Some people speak comfortably, some people stutter. It doesn't matter. So although we give them both the name of a speaker, hearer, seer, but the reality of the essence is nothing the same. So we're saying, just because Allah said, Allah Sami'a, and the human being is Sami'a, in the beginning of Surah Al-Insan, what does the ayah end with? نَبْتَلِي فَجَعَلْنَاهُ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. Allah said about the creation, the human being, we tested him, so we made him سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا, hearer, seer. And Allah called himself السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, the all hearer, the all seer. So do we share the name? Yes, but only the name. So those deviant sects, they say, just because we have the name, we cannot say Allah is also Sami', because we are Sami'. Because if you say that means Allah is like us. We say, why? Believe in both, but understand that we are nothing like Allah. You hear me now. If you are home, can you hear me? If you put your fingers in your ears, can you hear me? No. Doesn't Allah hear everything, everywhere, at the same time? Even a little bubble, a bubble in the ocean, way far, no one sees it. No one sees it, no one hears it. Allah Azza wa Jal hears everything simultaneously. So the reality of this quality is nothing like His creation. So then we don't deny the Quran by saying you cannot say Allah is Sami'a. You see, because that necessitates that Allah is like us. We say no. We believe what Allah says in the Quran, but we understand that Allah Azza wa Jal is unlike His creation. We are unlike Allah, Allah is unlike us, so we don't have a problem believing in the quality of Allah befitting His majesty. You see, we believe in it in a way befitting His majesty. Similarly, we say about the face and the hands and everything that was mentioned in the Quran. When Allah commanded the police to prostrate to Adam, and he became arrogant. Huh? Allah says, قَالَ مَا مَنَعَكَ أَن تَسْجُدَ لِمَا خَلَقْتُ بِيَدَيْهِ. He told Iblis in the Quran, in Surah Saad, what prevented you from prostrating to that which I created with my two hands? Allah says this in the Quran. And the Prophet ﷺ confirmed this in many narrations. And the Quran, وَالسَّمَوَاتُ مَطْوِيَاتٌ بِيَمِينِهِ. And the heavens will be folded up by Allah Azza wa Jal with His right hand. So Allah says that He has hands. But ya akhi, don't think of a human hand. Don't think of any hand, because whatever you're thinking, wrong. But do you dare to tell Allah that He's given us false information in the Quran? Do you dare to misinterpret the ayah and give it a new meaning that the Prophet ﷺ did not give us? Then you are teaching something other than the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because believe it or not, he recited these verses over the companions, Allah knows how many times, maybe thousands of times. And he never told them any meaning other than the apparent meaning, which we understand from the word yaday. But we say, the same way you believe that Allah hears, and you hear, and there's nothing like the hearing of Allah, huh? We are nowhere close. Similarly, Allah has hands and you have hands, but they are nothing the same. Is that clear? I know some brothers maybe are panicking because you've never heard this before. You're like, what is this brother talking about? Allah has a face, Allah has, it may be shocking to you, I understand. But the Akhwan, unfortunately, they did not teach us this. And we must learn. Because if we don't, we don't know who we're worshipping. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this deen teachings and made scholars and gave him virtues and understanding of the deen to reconvey this deen to us. These a'immah, they discuss these issues. But nowadays, people don't like to discuss them. Only say, fiqh. You want to follow one madhab, just follow one madhab. You like Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, just follow him in his fiqh. Whatever he says to do, you do. But what about his aqidah? What did Imam Abu Hanifa believe? They say, don't worry about that. That is unimportant. Subhanallah, it's the other way around, ya Shaykh. It's whatever he believes that is important. And the fiqh is a more easy door. There's more lenience. But what did you believe about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We must have the right understanding. The right understanding. So we say, I want everybody to understand this before you leave this masjid. There's nothing like Allah. Nothing like Allah. And I will give you an example to make this idea clear, similar to the one I gave you, but a little more sophisticated. I want you to imagine that they invented some new something. And they called it, give me a name. Ketafata. Is that Hindi or Urdu? Ketafata, just ketafata. Tayyib? You've never seen it. The problem is that this ketafata is not anything that we have seen in this life of ours. Huh? So I come to Brother Muhammad. I say, Muhammad, did you hear about this ketafata? He says, no, what is it like? So, I don't know where to begin. It's not an instrument, it's not a gadget, technology, it's not like an electronic, huh? It's not a car, it's not a furniture, it's nothing, it's like nothing we've seen. How am I going to explain it to him? I could say it's big. Let's say there are three brothers, Muhammad and Ahmed and Rabia. I say it's big. Each one of them, his perception of big is different. Maybe to Muhammad he will think big mountain. Huh? And the other one will think big like this microphone. And the other one will think big like this universe. Although I just said the word big. But now each one of them's perception, it varies. There's nothing common. Tayyib, if he has nothing, if they have never seen anything like it, I will never be able to give him the right image of this thing. You see, no matter what I do, the best that they will do is imagine, and 100% when I'm done, they will have the wrong imagination. The image that their brain will create will be wrong, because they've never seen anything like it. But let's give you another example. Everybody knows the cell phone. sell your phone. Let's say you have a Nokia, what, N71. And you have it. Then they made a new one, N73. I don't know if this exists. Whatever, I don't work in the cell phone business. N73. Tayyib, I come to Brother Muhammad, say, "Ya Muhammad, did you see the new N73? He says, "No." I say, "You know the N71? He says, "Yes." Now what will happen in Muhammad's brain? His brain automatically will bring the image of the N71. He'll put it right here. So I will tell him, it's very similar, but the screen is bigger. Huh? So he will imagine the one he knows, and he will make a new one with a bigger screen. The pads are more soft. Huh? Then he will think of his pads, and he will think, you know, the buttons that you press. It is gray. His was black. He will start thinking of a gray color. I continue to give him a description. Chances are, he will be closer to the truth because he already has an example. His mind has a pre-existing image which he is basing on the new instructions, the new attributes, so he will be able to understand. Now you see the difference between something that is seen and something that has never been seen? They are very different. So if we understand this, then we understand when Allah says, "Laysa kamithlihi shay," there's nothing like unto Allah. So it is just like the first example. There's nothing similar for you to understand. Nothing. But you do not deny what Allah said about Himself because there is nothing like Allah. Rather you be a believer, a submitter, a Muslim. Allah says that He has that, then you believe. How? You say in a manner that befits the majesty of Allah. Imam Malik, you know Imam Malik, rahimahullah, he was sitting in a gathering similar to ours, teaching his students. And I'm not saying I'm Imam Malik, I am a shoe for Imam Malik. But we're just saying that, you know, brothers were having a majlis dhikr. And a man came in and said, "Ya Imam, كيف استوى الرحمن على العرش?" How did Allah rise above His throne? How did Allah ascend above His throne? Oof. You know what Imam Malik did? He put his head down. He put his head down and they seen this perspiration and sweat started to form on his forehead. From the seriousness of this question, it's as if somebody put a mountain on his back. How did he ask this? Then he lifted up his head. He said, "Al-istiwa'u ma'loom." The word istiwa, ascendance, is known. We know what it means in the language. It's rising above. "Wal-kayfu majhool." How? It is unknown. No one knows. Because Allah did not teach us. So we do not know how it happened. "Wal-imanu bihi wajib." And for you to believe in that is compulsory upon you. Because Allah mentioned that in the Quran. "وَالسُّؤَالُ عَنْهُ بِدْعَةٌ." And for you to ask me this question is an innovation. Then he said, "And I see you as nothing but an innovator." And he was commanded that this man would be kicked out of the masjid. Because he came to corrupt the brains of the brothers. He came to give them anthropomorphic images. Where someone will start imagining Allah like a human being. And this is not befitting for the believer. So he commanded that you go out of the masjid, you are spreading corruption among the Muslims. So what did Imam Malik teach? Huh? The word, we know what it means. Wajh, face, we know what it means. Yadain, two hands, we know what they mean. Kayf, how, the manner, no one knows. So this is our belief system. We believe in what the words mean, but we don't know how. Because Allah did not teach us how. So you don't exceed the limitations that Allah gave you. If Allah wanted us to know how, He would have taught in the Quran or through the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, how? When He left that alone, that you leave that alone. How? You leave it alone. But don't go to the other extreme and say that means that Allah is like His creation. Because Allah is the same one who taught you, "لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ وَلَهُ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَىٰ." There's nothing like unto Him. There's nothing equal to Allah. So is this understood? I hope so. If you have any questions, I'll be more than happy to discuss it with you on our private talk, no problem. I want to make sure that this idea is firmly understood in our minds because everything will be based on this right understanding. This is very important for the believer to know who you're worshipping. The more you know Allah, the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah has 99 names that we have. There's more than that, but the ones that we have received in Revelation, 99. Whomever encompasses them will enter Jannah. Do you think it's just memorizing them? Do you think it's sufficient to say, Allahu ladhi la ilaha al-hayy al-qayyum al-malik al-quddus ilakhiri? No. You can get someone who memorizes them and he doesn't worship Allah according to them. That's why the mufassireen, those who would explain, the a'imma, the scholars, they say encompass them, meaning he understands them and he worships Allah according to them. Not only you memorize names, but you worship Allah according to them by understanding what they mean. And that requires that you know how to understand Allah, in which context, according to the Quran and the Sunnah, and the understanding of the companions and the early generations of the Muslim, including the four a'imma. These are the reliable source. These are the brothers whom the Prophet ﷺ said about خَيْرٌ النَّاسِ قَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. The best of mankind is my generation, then those who will come after them, then those who will come after them. The best generation, those early brothers who received the revelation live. They heard it from the messenger's mouth sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Quran was being revealed according to their questions. They understood this deen better than we understand this deen. So what they understood, we understand. And the hadith of the ummah splitting up, sahih hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that the Jews divided into 71 denominations, and the Christians divided into 72 denominations, and the Muslim ummah will divide into 73 denominations. All of them will be living the life of those who will go into the hellfire, except one. The companions panicked. They said, one? Who is it, O Messenger of Allah? Who is it? He said, مَنْ كَانَ عَلَى مِثْلِ مَا أَنَا عَلَيْهِ وَأَصْحَابِي. Whoever is upon what I am today and my companions. Whomever is upon what I am today, back then, and my companions. This is the group that will go straight to Jannah. We don't want to call the names and call people to sectarianism. We are this jama'ah and this is this jama'ah, and you must call yourself A and you must call yourself B and C. This divides the ummah. We don't need division, we need unity. But upon the truth, we must unite upon the truth. But we don't want to divide the ummah into names and titles. Come to us. We are jama'at X, we are jama'at Y, we are jama'at Z. You must come with us, go with us, leave with us, believe with us. We are the one who know the truth. No, this is not the way it happens. We must refer to the early generations. What they were teaching, their understanding, we follow the footsteps to protect ourselves from the fire. And this prophecy of the Prophet ﷺ, we are living today. Indeed, the Muslims have divided into the sects that you see today. Ahbash and Duruz and Shia and what have you. And some of them have even left Islam. But even within the Muslims now, many different jama'at, many different groups, many different people splitting up the ummah and giving themselves names. And this is something that the Prophet ﷺ warned us against. And Allah reprimanded us in the Quran. وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. And hold on to the rope of Allah all together and do not separate. Don't separate. Don't leave the main body of the Muslims. And we will not get our honor and dignity back until we go back to these teachings. Imam Malik said, وَلَنْ يُصْلِحَ آخِرَ هَذِي الْأُمَّةِ إِلَّا مَا أَصْلَحَ أَوَّلَهَا. Nothing will rectify the end, the last part of this ummah, except that which rectified the first part of this ummah. So we must go back to this pure form of Islam. And Allah is blessing us with the ability to learn these things, which maybe we did not get the opportunity to learn in our past. Allah knows that I'm not calling you to any sect. I'm not calling it to any new invented, innovated deen. Allah knows that this is the Quran and the Sunnah according to the understanding of the trustworthy, righteous predecessors. But because we have not learned this, maybe there's something in your heart, that this is something totally new. But this is very old. Just get the book of Imam al-Zahabi. He is called Al-Ulu, Kitab Al-Ulu, the transcendency of Allah, Allah being high above His creation. In this book, he quoted all of the statements of the righteous, the a'imma, about their belief system pertaining to Allah's names and attributes. If you read this book, you will see that they used to talk about these issues, and they used to propagate them and teach them to their students, because the deviants had started to exist, and they had to warn the people from as Allah says, yulhiduna, those who deviate in the understanding of the names and the attributes of Allah. The most important thing in our deen is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must know who we are worshipping according to His revelation, not according to the philosophers and those who give Allah human qualities.
ولا يلزم من ذلك أن يتماثلا في المعاني الإنسانية والسمع والبصر والكلام وترى الحيوانات لها أيد وأرجل وأعين ولا يلزم من اتفاقها هذا أن تكون أيديها وأرجلها وأعينها متماثلة.
The Shaykh said رحمه الله, and so we say that two human beings, we call both of them hearer, seer, speaker, but they have nothing, they may not be equal in the nature of this human quality. And that does not necessitate that they are the same in their hearing and seeing and speaking. He said similarly with the animals. You see, animals have hands, animals have legs, animals have eyes. And that does not mean that they are in total harmony in their eyes, in their hands and their legs with each other. They're not the same. Animals and insects, everything that you have hands and face and so forth. So we see that there's a major distinction between the nature of this quality, although the title is the same. If this is the case with the creation, then what about the case between the creation and the creator? La ilaha illallah. So we must really know. This will help you understand the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be seen by the believers on the day of judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be seen by the believers. Per the verses in the Quran, وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ. Huh? Continue the ayah. No. وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ إِلَى رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. Faces on that day glowing. إِلَى رَبِّهَا. To its Lord, نَاظِرَةٌ. نَظَر. To its Lord, looking. Looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that is where? Then. Today, no. When Musa tried to ask to see Allah, in the Quran, in Surah Al-Araf, قَالَ رَبِّ أَرِنِي أَنْظُرْ إِلَيْكِ. This is in the Quran. Musa said, oh Allah, let me look at you. Allah told Musa, قَالَ لَمْ تَرَانِي, you will not see me. ولكن انظر إلى الجبل, but look at the mountain. فإن استقر مكانه فسوف تراني. If the mountain remains firm in its place, then you shall see me. فلما تجلى ربه للجبل جعله دكا وقر موسى صعقا. But when his Lord, when Allah revealed some of his majesty to the mountain crushed, and Musa fainted عليه الصلاة والسلام. No one can see Allah in this dunya. When Allah revealed a portion of His majesty to the mountain was unable to remain in its place. It disintegrated. It crushed. So you tell those who say that Allah is everywhere, how are we still in one piece? See, look, everything is from the Quran and the Sunnah. All the teachings from the Quran and the Sunnah. If Allah was everywhere, why doesn't the whole world get destroyed already? Why did it take that Allah would reveal some of His majesty to the mountain to be destroyed? Huh? If Allah was everywhere, then nothing would be able to maintain. This is another way of looking at it, and there are many other verses that this is not the subject. We do deal with these issues in another class, which we have advertised before on Saturday. You know, Shari' al-Sab'een, down the street, Shari' al-Amir Majid, there's a da'wah center. Both Al-Mushrifa, Islamic Research Foundation or something along these lines. Hey. Every Saturday between Maghrib and Isha, there's a dars dealing with the sophisticated understanding of the names and attributes of Allah. A book written specifically for that. So if you're interested to join us, there's no fees, no nothing, just come, hayakumullah. Just come and join us and, you know, try to benefit as much as you want, inshallah. طيب الشيخ said فإذا ظهر تباين بين المخلوقات فيما تتفق فيه من أسماء أو صفات فالتباين بين الخالق والمخلوق أدين وأعظم. So if we see the distinction between the creation pertaining to that which is nominal, agreement in name and attributes, then obviously the distinction between the creator and the creation is more great and more evident. And then the second group, which we will leave to next week inshallah, is Al-Mushabbiha. So the first group who deviated, Al-Mu'attila. They denied Allah's names and attributes. Say you cannot say Allah has this, you cannot say Allah has that, you cannot say is Allah Sami', Allah Basir, Allah Qawi, Allah Alim, you cannot say that. Because to them, if you say that, you make an Allah like his, you know, creation. So then they denied it. The other group, or the other extreme, al-mushabbiha, those who say that Allah is like his creation. And we do never believe that. This is another deviance, two extremes. And Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah go in the middle. Huh? Those, the Ahl Sunnah, the people of the Sunnah who did not separate and divide themselves, they go in the middle. We don't go to either extreme, but we will leave the discussion pertaining to the Al-Mushabbiha bi-Ithnillahi Azza wa Jal the next week. And then inshallah we'll be dealing with the belief in the angels. And I'm sure there will be some interesting things pertaining to the angels, very specific information and knowledge about our belief in the angels and how that benefits us as believers in our daily lives. And what I hope that whatever I said was means of guidance and clarification for myself and for the brothers and the sisters. And inshallah ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enlighten our hearts with the truth and make us among those who follow the truth, understand the truth, and favor the truth over all kinds of falsehood in this world. Furthermore, make us among those who propagate the deen of Islam and get involved in da'wah to the non-Muslims in order to increase the number of Muslims and protect people from the hellfire, so the day will not come where they invite you, brother, or you, sister, to their religion. So we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we send the peace and the blessings upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.